Lord for his goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is only one way that I can be assured that everything will be all right. It's only one way. That's in Jesus. He's already overcome the world. And now you and I have opportunity. We have access to that same victory, the same power to overcome whatever this world may throw at us, whatever circumstance may bring us. We have the power to live above any circumstance, any situation, any trial, any tribulation. We have the power through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Want to say happy Mother's Day to all mothers here in the house this morning. Later on, we will take time to honor all of those present here. And I just want to say it publicly. We are honored to have you and that you have chosen to come and worship with us. And thank you so much. Want to make you aware of a few things. There will be no PM service here tonight. We take Sunday night off on Mother's Day to give you time to be with family, encourage you to spend time with loved ones, and so there will not be a PM service here tonight. Just want to remind you of that. Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, and then this coming Friday, if you have opportunity to go, we want you to be a part of a fellowship rally happening in the area. United Pentecostal Church of DeKalb is hosting this rally, and they have invited us to come. And there's a bulletin, the flyer back. There is a flyer back on the bulletin board. Let me get that right. That gives you some details concerning that. And we want you to go be a part of that. And then if you go and you want to, the Grimms have opened their home afterwards. They live in Cortland, which is not very far at all from where the service is taking place. And they have opened their home to any and all that want to come and fellowship there in their home after the rally, after the service on Friday night. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This coming Saturday, special day, work day here at the church from about 9 a.m. to around noon or shortly thereafter. And then we are having our small group fellowship on that evening. And that information is posted on the bulletin board as well. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind, around about 11:15, our Sunday school classes will be making their way back upstairs, and there will be a special presentation for moms, and so we are looking forward to that, and I will hasten on. Ruth chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 6. When you're there, can you say amen? Ruth chapter number 1, begin reading in verse number 6. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept, and they said unto her, they both, Orpah and Ruth, said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say and have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they, both Orpah and Ruth, Naomi, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Everybody say, kissed. But Ruth clave unto her. We in our language would say, cleaved. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, and she, Naomi, left speaking unto her. I want to draw your attention back to number 14, verse number 14, for that is where I would like to draw the title, what I would like to speak about this morning. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. To cleave is better than to kiss. To cleave is better than to kiss. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for your presence that we feel in this place this morning. Lord, we thank you for all those that have gathered. And the sound of my voice, Lord, and I pray your word is already anointed. Now I pray that you would anoint your servant. God, me is nothing more than a vessel to deliver your word into your people. God, that it would stir the heart and the mind. God, that we would see within the pages of this sacred writ, God, the passages of scripture that we read, God, the story that is unfolded before our eyes. God, that we would see and understand, God, the timeless principles and precepts which help us and guide us and give us that which we have need of in order to follow you and serve you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. To cleave is better than to kiss. The verses preceding this passage in Ruth chapter 1 let us know that Naomi and her family had gone into the land of Moab. They had left the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and they had dwelt in the land of Moab for about 10 years. If you read the story, you would understand that it was famine in the land of Judah that eventually drove them and their family unto the land of Moab. And during the time that Naomi and her family are in the land of Moab, in the space of about 10 years, Naomi loses her husband Elimelech and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. However, before her sons died, they had taken unto themselves wives. One had married a lady by the name of Orpah, and the other had married Ruth. Our selected passage picks up as Naomi decides to return into the land of Judah. She hears while dwelling in the land of Moab that God has visited his people once again and giving them bread, as the Bible says. And so she decides that she is going to return unto the land of her father. She is going to return unto the land of Judah. In doing so, her daughters-in-law pledge to return with her unto her people. They both in one accord say, we will go with thee and return unto you, unto your people. Naomi attempts to sway them into staying in Moab and does so by telling them to return unto their mother's house. Go back to where people know you and you know them. You have dealt kindly with me and with my family, but you were relieved of any obligation you might feel towards me. Go back in peace. Turn away from me. Don't follow me into the land of Judah. I implore you, stay here in the land of Moab. Go unto your household. Go unto your family members. Go unto the people that know you and you know them. And the Bible says that Naomi kisses them and they wept together. Naomi, if you will, symbolically releases them of any obligation to follow after her or to take care of her.
At first, we read that the response from both Orpah and Ruth, verse 10 tells us that they both pledged to return with her, even though she had relieved them of any obligation to do so. They both determined that they are going to follow her and return with her into the land of Judah. And Naomi, understanding that they want to go with her, Naomi again attempts to convince them not to leave Moab. Don't leave here, my daughters-in-law. Stay here. I will go into the land of Judah, but you stay here in the land of Moab. However, this time she does not address the past. She does not address how kind they have been. She does not address how wonderful of daughter-in-laws they have been to her and to her family. This time she decides she needs something more convincing. She needs an argument that would better sway them to stay in the land of Moab. And so this time, she tells them that she holds no hope for their future in going with her. She says, and I read in verse 11, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that you may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Go back, girls. There's no hope of a future for you if you go with me. I can't provide any more sons. I can't give you anything that would provide for your future. Please don't go. Please stay here in the land of Moab." And now for a second time, they all lift up their voices and they weep. First time Naomi kissed them, but now comes the time for their real response to Naomi. Kisses them and relieves them of any obligation to go with her, but now it's their turn. It's their turn to give their final response. And now Orpah, the Bible says, kisses her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. Orpah reconsiders her initial pledge. I feel certain that both Orpah and Ruth loved Naomi. This was not an easy decision for either party. Once Naomi decided to return to Judah, Orpah and Ruth had to make some very serious choices themselves. They had to make a decision. They had to decide. Matter of fact, at first they both seemed to be on the same page. They both pledged, "No, we will go with you. We will return with you, Naomi, into the land of Judah." In fact, if you see the scenario and you look at the arguments, what Orpah does would seem more sensible to most. The arguments made by Naomi as to why they should not go with her, they make sense. Logically, practically, one cannot blame Orpah for doing what she did. You see, Orpah saw no future for herself in the face of the elder Naomi. Probability of being just a younger widow taking care of an older widow must have caused her to reconsider her initial pledge. Surely the possibility of having a potential suitor among her own people of Moab was much better than being an outsider and returning with Naomi to her people. Surely the possibility of a husband in the future. Surely the probability of having sustenance for the rest of her life and being taken care of. Surely that possibility or the greater probability existed in the land of Moab. And so she reconsiders her initial pledge. "I love you, Naomi. I will weep at our departure. I cherish you and I thank you for the times we've had together. And I thank you for what you've been to me and what you've done in my life. But I believe a better future is found elsewhere. So a quick embrace and a kiss and I'll be on my way." The Bible says that Orpah kisses her mother-in-law, and then she turns back to the land of Moab. Naomi looks at Ruth, still wanting both of them to make the decision to stay She says in verse 15, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Naomi makes a very pointed statement in this. She says, "Listen, Ruth, Orpah's done the sensible thing. She's returned. She's gone back unto her people. She kissed me and then she went on her way. She left. She's done what seems more plausible. Ruth, why don't you follow after her? Why don't you go back to be like Orpah with her people and with her gods? Return thou after thy sister-in-law." But the Bible says, while Orpah kissed and left, Ruth stays true and cleaves unto Naomi. It wasn't just a quick embrace. It wasn't just a kiss goodbye and a sorrowful departure. No, she wouldn't let her go. She wouldn't stop. "Naomi, I hear what you're saying and it all makes sense. I know one would expect me to do likewise, but we've been together for some time now and I see something in you that Orpah didn't see. Naomi, I know you think you have nothing to offer and that you hold no hope for my future should I go with you, but you have taught me something that Orpah didn't learn. You told me that Orpah is gone back unto her people and her gods." Gods, little g, in plural. "See, I know you're from Judah and I know you're going back to serve a one true God. And so I will go with you and your God, big G and singular, will be my God, big G and singular. Naomi, you've taught me something that Orpah did not learn. You've taught me something that causes me to cleave unto you. You've taught me something that will not allow me just to kiss you and go my way. Naomi, you've taught me something from the land of Judah. You've told me about a God that exists in the land of Judah that visits his people. And there's something about you that I see. And though you think you hold no future for me, I believe your God does. And while Orpah would just be willing to kiss and return unto her people and unto her gods, you need to know something, Naomi. I see a future in you. It's not just an old wrinkled face that offers no hope, but I've learned something in my interaction with you. I've learned something in our time together that you serve a one true God, that you serve someone who is able to provide. And so while Orpah may kiss and leave, I will cleave unto you." See, Orpah is willing to kiss you and then carry on her way in search of her own future. But I will cleave unto you and listen to the words of Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee. In other words, don't tell me to leave you again. Please don't tell me to return unto my people again. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Please don't try to convince me anymore. For I've already made up my mind. I've decided to cleave unto you. For whither thou go, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Don't try to convince me anymore, dear mother-in-law. I've already made up my mind. I will not follow after Orpah. I will not go back unto those people and unto those gods. I will not return into that life. I will go with you into the land of Judah. And where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. And where they bury you, they will bury me. And the Lord do so unto me, if aught But death, part thee in me. I'm cleaving unto you so much that the only thing that will ever come between us, the only thing that will ever separate us, is pure and simple death. Otherwise, I'm here. Otherwise, no matter what happens, I'm here. No matter if you get old, no matter if I have to help you, no matter what happens, I'm here, Naomi. Orpah kissed and left, but I cleave. Just as there is the story of two daughters-in-law in regards to a mother-in-law, there's similar scenario in the life of Jesus. The Bible lets us know he had 12 disciples. One of these disciples, he was there. He saw the miracles. He heralded the healings. He took in the teachings. He walked and he talked with Jesus. He ate by the same fires. He heard the same lessons. He saw the great draught of fish. He was there when he fed the thousands. I believe he loved Jesus. In fact, John 11:16 tells us that all the disciples decide to go to Bethany with Jesus, even if it meant dying with him. But at some point, this disciple stopped seeing his future in the face of Jesus. Somewhere along the line, he reconsidered his initial pledge. Jesus was making choices to go somewhere this disciple was not willing to go. Jesus was making it plain that his future was not here in an earthly kingdom. And if the disciples followed him, they would be subjected to similar sufferings that awaited him. So this disciple decides to find his future elsewhere. This disciple decides to offer up Jesus to the rulers of the Jews, to betray the beloved for 30 pieces of silver, that his deeds might be heralded before the Sanhedrin and possibly before Herod, so that power, prestige, and prominence would be placed in his future. He wanted something that he no longer saw in the face of Jesus. He thought maybe initially that Jesus was that one that would restore the splendor of Solomon's kingdom. He saw himself sitting and ruling and reigning with Jesus on an earthly throne. But when Jesus started making it plain that that was not his intention, he was not coming to restore an earthly kingdom. He was not coming to give them power and prestige and prominence. He was not coming to fulfill their dreams in the sense of the natural, but he was coming with a heavenly kingdom. At some point, this disciple reconsidered his initial pledge. At some point, this disciple didn't see the future that he wanted anymore in the face of Jesus. And though I believed he loved Jesus, though I believe there was a part of him that was torn, I believe that there was a part of him that wanted to stay true to Jesus, but another part of him, the part that won over, was the part that saw no future anymore in his face. And so he goes and he agrees to betray the beloved for 30 pieces of silver. And to single Jesus out, to make his choice and go on his way. The Bible lets us know what Judas does. The Bible lets us know that he knew the place where Jesus would resort thither. He knew where Jesus would take his disciples after the Last Supper. He knew where Jesus was going when they departed from that upper room. Judas knew where he could lead the temple guards. Judas knew. Bible says that Judas knew the place. He had been there before with Jesus. He had heard Jesus pray there in the garden. So he knew that he would find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a spot where Jesus loved to pray. It was a spot where Jesus would oft-times resort thither with his disciples. It was a place that Judas knew. With the heaviness upon his heart, and Judas knew that with the struggle that was going on in the man Christ Jesus, Judas knew where Jesus was going. Judas told them, "This is how you will know who he is. This is how I will be able to single him out. This is how you will know the one to take and to arrest. This is how I will signal who it is that you are to take. For I will kiss him. For I will kiss him. You know the story well. Judas makes his way into the Garden of Gethsemane, and while he probably embraced his brothers, those disciples that were his friends, those disciples that by all indications really had no idea what Judas was doing. And then Judas makes his way to Jesus. Much like Orpah, who saw no future in the face of Naomi, quickly embraced and kissed and went on her way. Judas, who no longer sees future in the face of Jesus, walks up to the beloved and betrays him with a kiss. Then there was another disciple. The Bible says that this disciple went into the palace of the high priest where Jesus was taken after he was arrested and brought there. While the other disciples scattered or stood without the door, this disciple, the Bible says, was there. This disciple was present. This disciple, according to his writings and according the best we could tell in the gospel, this disciple was the only one present at the cross. This disciple was there, for we know this, for in John 19, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he saith to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. It was apparent that this disciple was there for all of it. And if you go back to that time in the upper room, if you go back to the Last Supper, when Jesus spoke of his betrayal, there was a disciple, the Bible says, leaning upon his chest, cleaving unto Jesus. And when Jesus would say, I'm about to be betrayed into the hands of sinner, one who is among you is going to betray me. One of you is going to lift up his hand against me. One of you is going to betray the beloved. This disciple, leaning upon the chest of Jesus, as the Bible would say, looked up into the face of the one he still saw future. The face of the one he loved. In the face of the one that he had chosen to cleave unto. And he says this three-word statement. He has this three-word question. Who is it? In other words, I know it's not me. Who is it, Jesus? I know it's not me. You want to know how I know it's not me? Because I cleave unto you. And when they take you, and they arrest you, and they take you to the palace of the high priest, guess what? I'll be there. When you're there, hanging, suspended between heaven and earth on a cross, you'll look down and you'll see me there. Why? Because I cleave unto you. Why make these parallels? Why bring these to our attention? Might I summarize and say this? Orpah saw no future for herself in the face of Naomi, and after the kiss, we never hear of her again. No mention of her again. She kissed and went on her way. We don't know what happened. We don't know anything about her life from that point on. The scriptures are silent about the one who kissed. But Ruth, the one that cleaved unto Naomi. You read the story. She goes on to marry a man by the name of Boaz, a kinsman of Naomi, a very wealthy man. She goes on and her future is secured. He tells her, I'm going to provide not only for you, but for your mother-in-law, Naomi. I'm going to provide everything that you have need of. And Ruth and Boaz, they have a son, and his name is Obed. And Obed and his wife, they have a son, and his name is Jesse. And Jesse and his wife, they have a son, and his name is David. Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Ruth, a Moabitess. Ruth, an outsider. Ruth, one who, while Orpah saw no future in the face of Naomi, she said, oh, your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where they bury you, they will bury me. And the Lord do so unto me, if aught but death part thee and me. Orpah kissed and went away, and we never hear of her again. But Ruth cleaved unto Naomi, and she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Judas looks for a future outside the face of Jesus Christ. And after the kiss, he commits suicide. And his name is synonymous with betrayal. For his future elsewhere, he found none. We have the sad epitaph of a potential apostle. Hangs himself for remorse of what he's done. And he kissed. The one, the disciple, that leaned upon the chest of Jesus, the disciple that twice mentioned in his gospel, he refers to himself as the one leaning upon his breast. This disciple cleaves unto Jesus, goes on to write the gospel of John, three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation that is still being revealed unto this day. Christian tradition would state that of all the disciples, John was the only one who died a natural death. All others were martyred. John, best we can tell, best church history can state, he died about 100 AD in Ephesus. Why? Because it's better to cleave than to kiss. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Why tell these stories, preacher? Why look at these characters in the Bible and bring out things that were done? How do they parallel? How do they apply to you and to me? You see, I have a choice and you have a choice. We have very serious decisions to make. Will we kiss? Or will we cleave? We show a sign of affection for Jesus on occasion. We tell people, yeah, I'm a Christian. Will we embrace his teachings, his word, for a short time? Will we kiss? Or will we cleave? See, these stories show, these stories reveal this awesome truth. To cleave is better than to kiss. What do I do, preacher? How do I show my decision? How do I reveal unto this world whether I kiss or whether I cleave? I hope the stories this morning will help you answer that question. My hope is that this message on this Sunday morning will have you consider. Maybe you're here and you've never made that pledge. Maybe you're here and you've never made a decision to follow after Jesus. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I don't know if that's something I can commit to. I don't know if I see a future for me and walking in His will and in His way. Maybe I'll consider, but my consideration will be simply a kiss. A mere sign of affection, a quick embrace, and then I will turn and go my way. I will look for my future elsewhere. Try to find myself and fulfillment in the eyes of this world. I implore you, don't just kiss. Cleave. To cleave is better than to kiss. To make a commitment that says it doesn't matter what comes, it doesn't matter what happens in my life, it doesn't matter what circumstance or situation brings. I want to find my future in the face of Jesus. I want to cleave unto Him. You're in the right place this morning to make that commitment. You're in the right place this morning to decide for yourself if it is better to cleave than to kiss. Oh, Jesus. Oh, You desire such a relationship. I know no one would like to think of themselves as walking in the shoes of Judas. But oh, Lord, if I just come on occasion and I don't spend time developing my relationship with You and being with You, then in reality, I don't do much more than kiss. Lord, I want to cleave. Whether You go, I will go. Whatever You tell me to do, I want to do. For to cleave is better than to kiss.
The more I seek You,
He offers a relationship with You this
morning.
While many have come and kissed and went on their way, Jesus has been there the whole time desiring to cleave. For to cleave is better than to kiss.
The more I love You,
the relationship He offers provides more future than you could ever know. Don't let me be like Orpah. Don't let me be like Judas, where I just kiss and go my way.
This love is so deep. It's more than
I don't want spiritual silence or spiritual suicide to be my destiny, because I would only commit to a kiss. I want to cleave. These altars are open. I know we've got more to do, but I don't want to rush past this point. cleave is better than to kiss.
The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe.
I want to cleave. To cleave is better than to kiss.
His love is so dear.
I don't want to play games with God.
More than I can stand.
I want to fall in love. Jesus, help me to cleave, God.
Sunday school classes are making their way in. Congregation, you may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Mothers, Happy Mother's Day to all mothers, grandmothers. And the children have a cute little song for you today, so if you'd like to give them a hand clap as they come on up. Come on, kids. Tall and back. Yeah, don't anybody stand behind this. Okay. Come on, Jill. Abby, come on. Okay, let's stand, scooch up. Chase, all of you, stand up, closer, closer, closer. Yeah, come on up. Just come on, come on up. Come on all the way up, come all the way up here. Keep on coming. Fingers down. These girls, yeah, they came way up there, didn't they? That's all right. I just don't want anybody hidden. Okay. Skylar's going to sit down for this. I don't want to be in anybody's way. Okay. Everybody, look at me. To present. Oh, sorry, those are toes and sandals. I just smushed them. They have something to present for Sister Wells, and they have something to say. And you ready?
Happy Mother's Day. We love you.
Sister Wells. Okay, wait, everybody. Sister Rachel, they're ready. Oh, okay, will you come up here? They have something for their moms, and they're going to bring it to you, and then they're going to sit with you for the rest of the service, okay? Bless you.
Didn't they do wonderful? I love hearing the kids. Well, while they're doing that, I know it's Mother's Day, I realize that, and it might be a little bit odd that I'm taking just a minute to do this. This past week was Teacher Appreciation Week. If you have a kid in elementary school, you would know that because you hear something every day on it. So I did not quite realize I wouldn't have the podium for this. As I was saying, it was Teacher Appreciation Week, and I'm on our PPA there at the school, and so, of course, we spent hours planning the week, trying to do different things to make the teachers feel special and feel appreciated and all that good stuff, so which I'm all for. I absolutely love my children's teacher. I love their school. I think it's good to give recognition to them, that is for sure, but now it started making me think of our kids' Sunday school teachers, and I've let it slip, and I apologize in times past, but our school teachers, they do impact our children's future, no doubt. But our Sunday school teachers impact our children's eternity. And so I find it very, very necessary to give appreciation to them today. They may not be our children's mother, but they play a huge role in our kids' lives. I thank you personally. I have seen my children grow in God's love and the desire to be closer to Him. Austin gets up without any prompting and reads his Bible. Like, that's not for me. I'm not a morning person, but that's him. So, and I know that is coming from being backed up in the Sunday school, and I really, really appreciate that. So I'm not raising them alone, that is for sure. And I quote, a teacher affects eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops. So to celebrate the people who pray for our kids, who love our kids, prepare to teach our kids, they feed our kids, they even put up with our kids. So I think we need to give them a hand because they truly deserve a hand. If you guys can come up here for just a minute, all the teacher's aides, Allie, you as well, the teacher's aides, Jenna, I just wanted to give you a small something. Brother Tom, it might be a little, you all are teachers as well. You're our youth teachers, yes. So if you want to pass those out, Brother Tom gets the yellow one. And I took the pink bow off. And it's a hand soap, and it says you deserve a hand. So can you give them a hand? Yes, thank you. Give them one more hand as they go sit down. Okay, and if I could have my three helpers. We have something for the mother, all of the mothers today. I'm trying to get to my... It's not bringing it up. In the back, there are three boxes. They're glass boxes, and they... Yes. I'm having a hard time. It seems like my document just completely erased on me. So I'm going to just wing it today. today is a special day for many reasons. The older I get, the more I appreciate that of a mother and their role that they play. It is huge, and I wish I could put in words how much I appreciate my mother and the now that I realize the selfless love and all that she did to make me and my brother and sister, yeah, thank you, to make me and my brother and sister feel loved and raise us right. So we celebrate nurses, we celebrate janitors and maids and chefs and all these things, that all these roles that our mothers play. I call them superheroes. They're moms. They give a lot. And I know that this day can be joyous for so many, and it can be painful for some. So I was trying to find, I knew what I wanted to say in my head. I'm not always great with words. If you know me, I'm like, he's like the sweet one, like with all the, like the cards. And I'm like, it's been a good one. Love ya. Like, I'm not really a word person by any stretch. He's so much better at that than I am. But I wanted to capture every season and that every mother plays. And I am in a different season than what Sister Day is in. But it is never less of a mother. And I've heard they walk on your toes when they're younger, and they walk on your hearts when they're older. And so I'm enjoying why they're walking on my toes. I had this article that I found, and I don't really quite know what happened. I was actually reading it back there, so I don't know what happened. But it said something like this: to those who have had a baby this year, we celebrate you. To those who have lost a mother this year, we mourn with you. And every year, I'm sure that never gets easy. To those who may have had different circumstances in life and would like to be a mother, whether it's you haven't found someone to have a mother with or have a baby with, or you have infertility issues, those are deep, deep emotions that can be brought forth. And we sympathize with you. To those who maybe not have had a mother that maybe abused them or had something that maybe this day brings up emotions, and maybe you don't feel like that it's not worth celebrating. We are very saddened by your experience. To those who have close relationships with their children that are like my mother, I celebrate that relationship with you. And those who may have distant relationships and there's heartache and there's wedges between your children with you, I am saddened for your experience. And for those that are having a baby, we have a few in here. We are so excited for you. We anticipate this awesome journey, mostly awesome journey that you are beginning. And so I would like for all of the mothers, no matter what season you're in, we celebrate you. It is not a job for the faint of heart. It is not for the weary. Being a mother is no joke. It is for sure. It is hard stuff. And mine was being in the trenches with my little ones, wearing my food stain badge of honor proudly. And if you could, all the mothers could stand, and we're going to gather around the front, and I have a little token for you, my helpers. There's probably four in there, yep. You guys could all gather around the front. They're going to pass them out to you. And it's just a little mason jar with a chalkboard label that says Happy Mother's Day. Yes, Shannon. Yes. Every season of life that you're in, whatever, from conception, you are a mother. So he's already put your body through quite a bit. So it is every day worth celebrating year after year. And we thank you and applaud you for all that you have done. Can you give our mothers a hand clap? They were actually supposed to be coffee mugs, but my order, it was a long fiasco. So I was going to do two of my favorite things, coffee and chocolate, but didn't quite work out. But you can still put a beverage in there. They sell like little mason tops with straws and stuff too. So.
One more time, why don't we give our mothers a resounding applause. Congregation, why don't you stand? A standing ovation is proper for mothers. From First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, we want to say a sincere thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for celebrating Mother's Day with us. And and Sister Wells says, thank you very much for recognizing her. She just kind of went right on by that, and so she feels bad about that. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Why don't we dismiss in prayer? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this wonderful day and celebration of moms. We pray that you would be with us today, be with those families that they gather together. Lord, bless the proceedings, God, among the families. We love you and praise you and thank you. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.